In a world where it seems like there's so much going wrong, I want you to see the people who are spending their lives doing and seeing the good. Welcome to the Doing Good Podcast, where we discuss the stories of people who are changing the world in their own way. I'm your host, Carmen Herbert.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Doing Good. And today, I am so glad to invite Maureen Stowell to the podcast. So I Instagram stalked Maureen a few months ago when my hair was so just dull and my scalp was really dry and flaky and so itchy. And my sister, she's like, you need to follow Maureen on Instagram because she has this amazing shop where she sells all these products and she has something called the Triple Threat and you need to clarify your hair and nourish it. And I was like, what? So I went on Maureen's Instagram page. I'm like, well, I'm going to just try it. So I bought the Triple Threat right after a trip to Mexico when I was feeling just gross. And I was on the airplane. I remember itching my hair and just, I had just tons of buildup and scalp. Just, it was so gross. I remember I took a picture of it. I'm like, my hair is so bad. And I wash it every day. And it was so bad. So I'm like, I'm going to try this for like a week. And after a week, I had no more buildup or dandruff. My head was not nearly as itchy. My hair felt great. So I messaged Maureen. I'm like, I just have to tell you, I know this sounds so cheesy, but you have changed my life and using these products. And Maureen was so sweet. And she messaged me back. And so I said, okay, would you ever be willing to just come on a podcast and talk about hair care and self-care for women? And she said yes. And so she is so nice that she cleared her schedule to talk to me today. And then recently found out that we actually knew each other in high school for a second. And we went on a dance trip to New York. We were both on dance company. She went to Viewmont and I went to Woods Cross. And apparently I sang for a bunch of people on the subway and told everyone I was going to be on American Idol someday. I did not lack confidence, that's for sure, when I was
in
high school.
But you did it. Like, it was
so cool. And then I did it. So Maureen reminded me, she's like,
I knew when she was on the subway.
Yeah, exactly. We did for no one. Now look at me. I'm just a mom, stay-at-home mom. But no, so that's so funny that we had that connection. So anyway, I'm so glad that you are talking to us today. So welcome to the podcast, Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about, first of all, let's kind of go back to right after high school graduation, thinking about what you wanted to do with your life. It's kind of daunting. I'm the young women's president right now in my ward, and I've like seven girls are getting ready to graduate. And the thought of like, what next is so scary and daunting to a lot of them. And back when we were growing up, missions too were like, girls didn't.
No.
No, some serve mission.
Not
really. I mean, some did, but like you had to be 21. And so it was like.
It wasn't very encouraged. It was kind of like last case scenario almost.
It really was. Like if you don't have anything else, and by the time you're 21, if you're not married, and it was sad, but that kind of was the culture growing up.
Yeah.
So for me, I had graduated and then went on tour, did American Idol, and then went to BYU, was doing an album. So I had like this music path, and then that kind of stopped, and it was like, what? Now what? Now what do I do? So the idea of like this open future, this open-ended future of it's your choice now, you get to decide, it was kind of daunting. So tell me what you were interested in besides dance. Okay. How did you decide to become a hairstylist?
Okay, so ever since I can remember, like even as little as like first grade, I just inherently have been obsessed with hair.
Oh.
Like to the point that like I love to take baths. I'm a big bath taker.
Me too.
And when I was a little girl, I would sit in the tub and I would read the back of every shampoo bottle. And I would pretend, I loved QVC as a kid.
Oh my God.
So I would pretend to be on QVC and talk about these hair products and what you should do with it. I mean, it's like inside of me.
Yeah.
But growing up, I really struggled in school. And I struggled. My grades weren't great. And I would get in trouble a lot. Not like for really mischief, but I was always talking. The teacher would be like, it doesn't matter where I put her. She just talks to everyone. She won't. She can't focus. I probably have ADD or something. I don't know. And I just, in school, I always felt like I was kind of behind or not as smart as everyone around me. And I had to work really hard. In high school, I did pretty well because you had to have a certain GPA to dance.
Yeah.
And my dance advisor was scary. And so it was like, I knew I wanted to dance. So I knew I had to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah.
But in school, I feel like I'm a generally pretty confident person.
Yeah.
And in school, I was not. I would go to the meetings you do with your counselor and they would say like, Maureen, what are you going to do? Like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I'd be like, I want to be a hairstylist. And they'd be like, that's not a job. That's not a career. What are you going to do? And I remember thinking like, I don't want to go to college. Like, it just seemed like more school, but like,
yeah.
So hard. And so then I started saying, okay, I want to be a therapist because that was accepted in school. That was accepted. But then my counselor one day was like, okay, that would be really good. But you know, you go to like college and then there's like 4 more years after college. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Never mind.
Never mind. And so after that, I always knew I was going to be a hairstylist. My grandma was a hairstylist. I just think sometimes there's something inside of you.
Yeah.
That, like, probably you with music. Like, it's just.
Totally.
It's. And so when I graduated high school, I went to the Paul Mitchell School in Provo. And I all of a sudden was just succeeding. Like, I was all of a sudden doing so well in my schooling. And I remember calling my parents and I remember saying, like, I'm like the person people are asking questions to. Like, I'm the person that people like come to when they need to. It was the first time in my life that I had felt smart. And I don't know. I love it. I love it. I've met so many incredible women and so many people that I would have never met in my life that our passions never would have crossed. But because of my job, they've become like my dearest friends. And I just learned so much about different people and the way different people live and different faiths and different circumstances that I just feel like it's just blessed my life more than I could ever give back.
I love that so much. First of all, I also had the talks too much comment. Yeah. My report cards. My mom saved a bunch of my old report cards and like school papers and gave them to me. And I saw a meme on Instagram and it's like, raise your hand if you got the talks too much. And it's people that are like podcasters, hairstylists,
yes.
Teachers, like everyone that was a negative, look how you've turned it into a strength. And talking,
yeah,
connecting with people while you're doing hair. Like, honestly, for me, going to get my hair done is a therapeutic experience.
Oh, yeah.
You share things with your hairstylist that you don't really talk about with friends that maybe see you all the time, because maybe you don't. Some dear friends you do, but some you're like, this is kind of deep and heavy and I want it to be with someone safe that I don't see all the time, that doesn't maybe run even with my same circle of friends, so they don't really know my kids. I can really open up and have a sounding board for 2 or 3 hours with another woman. And it's so interesting that you're like, therapist was your second choice, because truly you're both.
Yeah. And that's what I've kind of come to realize in my job, that like, I just, even clearly from a young age, I've just always wanted to connect with people. And I've wanted to like, and sometimes people will sit in my chair and they'll start to tell me something that they're going through or something, you know, really hard. And there's a lot of times I say a silent prayer of like, I am not equipped to give this person advice.
Yes.
I don't, but generally, I think most people just want someone to listen.
Yes.
And sometimes I do feel inspired and sometimes I say things that I'm like, man, that was good. Like,
that was good advice.
Yeah. Or sometimes I just sit and they just talk and I just think, especially as women and when we have kids and we have our families, I think sometimes as an individual, we can feel invisible. And
totally.
We just become like this machine that just like has a chore list and we just get things done and we're just, you know, doing these repetitive things. And I think sometimes it's important to remember that we're people and things are hard, and it's fun to just go and talk to someone who, like you said, I don't really know these people. I feel like I do. I mean, yeah. Some women, I've done their hair for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And so I feel so connected to them.
Yeah.
But I don't really know who they're talking about.
Right.
And it really is the best job.
I think my favorite thing that you said is it just reminded me so much, and I'm getting emotional thinking about it. I have a son who is, same thing, the most, probably my most empathetic and socially aware child. He's always the life of the party. People are drawn to him. But man, school is just so stinking hard. And he looks at his more introverted, quiet older brothers who are very studious, 4.0 kids, and compares himself a lot to them. And I'm like, you are going to find something someday that just like you did, that you are amazing at. It's going to fit you perfectly. And grades don't determine your success in life. And yes, we're going to help you. So you have opportunities.
Right.
But to put so much emphasis on a number or a letter grade is, it breaks my heart as a mom. And I know how much time and effort, because we're there with him.
Yeah.
To the wee hours of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying and helping and just to understand. And so hearing you be like, then I went to hair school, and you're like, I found my thing. When innately you knew it all along, but now finally it was like coming to fruition. Like it was like, look at this dream I had that I knew, my little spirit always knew, and I'm good at it. How amazing and freeing and exciting that must have been for you.
It really was. And I think it's just been fun for me to even joke with my parents about it now. Like, who would have thought?
Yeah.
I do think when we grew up and it was different. And I think going to trade school or going a different route than the regular university, it was just kind of looked down upon. It was kind of like, oh, you couldn't go to college, so you took the easy way.
Right.
And the one thing I tell every girl who comes to me and asks me if she should go to hair school, I have a lot of clients or, you know, girls in my neighborhood who will be like, do you think I should go to hair school? And the very first thing I say is, it is not easy. It is hard. You are dealing with somebody's appearance.
Yeah.
Like, it is not easy.
Right.
But if you can get it, it's the best job in the world. But I don't think it should be dumbed down to like something that's lower than maybe going to college or, you know, like, I just think they're even. It's how you succeed in whatever you're doing.
Yes. And you can have a wonderful career and help provide for your family and truly connect with other people. Like, the older I get, like when you knew me, especially, I had this one goal, and it was like, I'm going to be a famous singer. And that is what I wanted to do more than anything, is to sing. And I achieved that. I did it. And it didn't turn out quite. There's so many times I'm like, oh my gosh, if I could go back now as a 38-year-old versus a 17-year-old,
right,
all the things they do different. And my voice development, my knowledge of the music industry, learning about who I really was and staying true to my authentic self, like how I would, the songs I would choose, everything would be different. But it couldn't have been. It had to work out that way because I have learned invaluable lessons. And now I have 25 darling voice students that I get to teach, and I get to watch them develop their talents and them grow. And when they come back to me and they're like, I did it. I made the lead in the play, or they made a choir they tried out for. That, like, joy is, I'm like, I get, that is just as exciting and wonderful for me than is as if it were me up on that stage singing.
Exactly.
And just being able to use my talents and gifts now in a different way, that I'm a mom and I don't want to be on tour traveling like on stage. I do that occasionally. Like, I still do that sometimes, but for the most part is now I get to do that and help other people. And it's so fulfilling for me, and I love doing it. And I agree with you that it's my sister went to, she's a master esthetician. And so she went that route too. And it, the hours and learning and like waxing people's bodies and doing all sorts, like,
yeah,
so hard. And it is because people are like, you can physically see, like, did I like this or do I hate it?
Exactly.
And it's like in front of you. And then your, like, your clients are your walking billboard. Like, who did your hair? Who did your lashes? Who did this? And who,
yes,
did, you know? So people know, like, they are judging you based on how people look that you worked on.
Yeah.
So it's,
well, and like, I'll have a client who will maybe text me like 2 days before their appointment, and they'll be like, okay, we're doing a major change. Like, and they'll send me some inspo pictures. I will like lose so much sleep for the next 3 days because I'm like mapping it out in my head. And I'm like, okay, like, how can I achieve this? But also within reason, because I know you just, you learn to know your clients. So it's like, yeah, I actually know you're going to hate this.
Yes.
So how can I make this different, but I know you're going to like it? Because
yes,
there's a lot riding on me and them, you know?
Yes.
It's a different connection when you're dealing with somebody's appearance.
Completely.
And their confidence. It's huge.
Totally. And my, the girl that does my hair, about every 3 or 4 months, I'll go come to her and I'll say, I'm getting bangs. And she'll say, no, you're not.
Huh? We're not doing that.
Because she just knows me. She's like, we're not doing that. She's like, the most I'll do is some like layers or curtains. She's like, you're not doing bangs. Like, oh, and then at the end of the appointment, she'll do my, and I'm like, thank you for not letting me get bangs. She's like, you're welcome. Because or I'll say, I'm getting a bob. And she'll say, no, you're not.
Yeah.
We're not doing
not
a bob.
Yep.
Like, yes, I want it. No, but I'll cut like 2 inches off. You're not doing that.
But to that's like part of our job is to have this confidence that we can help direct people with, you know, like achieving the look they want, but also knowing them and knowing like, you're going to hate this.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to hear about it for 6 months until it grows out or until we can get you back to a blonde. Like, And I think I honestly, sometimes I get teased. Like my client will sit down in my chair and I'll say something like, what are we going to do today? And they're like, I don't know. You just do it. Like they don't even want me to ask them anymore.
Yeah.
But I think like that's such a compliment that
totally
they trust me that much. It's like, just fix it. I don't know.
Feel what looks good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me where that confidence came from. Like, did it take a while for you to trust yourself and build that up? Or was it kind of a learning process of, do I listen to my clients or do I listen to my heart and what I think will be best for them? Like, where did that come from? Where did that trust come from? How did you build the trust between your clients and the confidence to be like, I know what would be best for you and truly believe that you do?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, as a younger kid and even as like a younger adult, people would describe me as confident. And I thought that that was like such a blow. In my head, confident meant like, I thought I was like really pretty or really cool or like I was like full of myself. But the older I'm getting and now that I'm raising kids and just praying they have some confidence, you know, I'm realizing that is such a gift.
Yes.
If it's used correctly. So I think inherently I've always been a confident person. I always stay pretty true to who I am. Like whether that's good or bad, I don't know how to fake. I don't know how to pretend. And so with my clients and with my job, probably early on, I was maybe even too confident. But I really believe that I had found something that I knew I was good at. And I studied it a lot. And my first, usually as a hairstylist, the first salon you want to work in is more of a commission salon where like you get paid a percentage of what you do.
Sure.
And I walked into this like very, very hip, cool salon that was only booth rent. So no matter if I had one client or 100, I had to pay, I think it was like $500 a month to work there.
Oh my goodness.
I had zero clients. I had just graduated beauty school and I walked in and I was like, this is where I want to work. And the owner, I don't know why, but he said, okay. And I worked with these incredible stylists who they just like lived and breathed hair. And because I was so fortunate that I lived at home, I didn't really have any bills.
Yeah.
I was able to just sit there all day and like just, I would just watch people and shadow people and listen to how they were doing it and watch how they were doing things. And I think that was such a gift that I was given, that I was able to just walk in somewhere confident and be like, I fit in here.
Yes.
Even though I really didn't. I really didn't. But those stylists helped me so much. And I just think once you get to know your clients and you get to know their personalities and you just kind of all of a sudden the way their hair is going to work, it just kind of fits them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird, it's a weird thing that happens.
That's amazing. And I think it's so awesome that you, instead of just being like, well, this is how I am, this is what I'm going to do, you shadow people, you learn from them. You took just all that knowledge, like, okay, and how do they do it? And how do they even probably connect with clients? And how do you, certain hair lifts different? And just watching all that experience, when did you feel like, okay, I can do this now on my own? I can open up my own salon. I can work from home. I can truly take this on myself and do this all on my own.
So the first salon I worked at, it was so fun, but I was in every way the minority, in every way. I was 18. They were very experienced at life. There was a lot of things happening behind the scenes that didn't really align with the way I lived my life, but I actually loved it because I got to learn how different people live and how different people respond to things. And that salon ended up closing. And so I moved to a salon in Bountiful, which was more of like my demographic of people, just a lot of stylists, a lot like me. And I worked there for a few years and I stayed working in Bountiful for a while. And then one day, salons are wonderful. They are wonderful, but behind the scenes in a salon can be really hard.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of drama. I mean, women are hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think stylists, I think we are very artistic and we are very creative and we're also passionate. And so
big personality and big opinions. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was in the salon and I mean, a lot of the women I worked with were some of my dearest friends. But I felt like when I'd go to the salon, it was just like this weight, like from the stylist I worked with, they'd come and tell me, you know, this, this, and this happened. And then I'd hear their clients talking and my client, it just started to feel heavy.
Yeah.
And I think for some reason, I tend to be like a leader in situations. And so if something wasn't right, the stylist would come tell me and then I would go to the owner you know, I don't know why that happens for me, but I'm the one who will speak up. And so
yeah,
I came home a day and I just said to my husband, like, I don't want to work. I just want to work alone. I just want it to be me and my clients. And I want to be home so that if my kids need me, I'm available. But also I just was craving like a quiet space.
Yeah.
And so we ended
up. It was emotionally exhausting.
It's exhausting.
To give so much of yourself. Yeah. And you have to be high energy and you have to be happy and you have to be excited to see them. And you're also creating and it's draining.
It's draining. And you take that and then you put it in an atmosphere where everyone around you is feeling that too. And it it gets heavy. And so this is kind of a crazy story. So my husband and I decided we were going to put a salon in our home. So we start kind of building it out. And I tell the salon owner, I gave her like 2 months notice or something. And the day, my last day at the salon, that salon was starting to kind of, there was some really negative things happening. So it was kind of starting to spiral and I was watching it. And my very last day, I had already packed up everything. I was doing a wedding party, so I'd packed up most of my stuff. And the salon owner came in and announced that we were being evicted that day. And I remember just being like, oh my gosh. I just feel like God was looking out for me a little bit. Like, hey, I think there was a little bit of like hindsight of like, this isn't going well.
Yeah.
And I was so thankful that, I mean, I didn't skip a beat. I had my salon in place And I was actually able to let some of those stylists were, I mean, a lot of those stylists were full time, you know, they make a lot of money for their families and
yeah.
they were out of a job. I mean, it was that day I actually went and spoke to the landlord, like, what's happening? But I was able to let them come use my space. I mean, it just, it was a crazy moment, but it was actually like such an answer for me because I was feeling like, in my head, as a stylist, once you moved home, you were kind of like downgrading.
Yeah.
Like you worked in these high energy salons and you know, you built this huge clientele and then you go home and now you just work from home. And
yeah.
you kind of are out of touch or. And so I was worried that that was going to happen to me. And I was worried yeah. that that was where I was headed. It's never what I've wanted to do. And it was almost like a little answer of like, no. This is what you need to do. And there's a whole bigger plan for you, then it's fine.
And yes,
the way I've been able to grow my business, I would never been able to do in a salon. I have to do it where I'm the boss.
Yeah. Yes.
So it was a crazy transition and I'll never forget my first day working here. I just was like, this is so weird. It's so quiet. But now I feel like my clients and I connect so much closer.
Yes.
Because nobody's listening to our conversation.
Right.
And it's quiet and we're able just to talk about real things.
Yes.
And I don't know. I love it. I love it.
And you
most of the time.
Most of the time. I know. Just like with anything, it's
yeah.
same with teaching voice. Like I love it so much. And then there's some days I'm like, I'm drained. So to give any other, I'm giving my last ounce of energy to yes. my students. And I think any creative field that you work in, it's mostly wonderful. And then they're just, because we're human, there are days where we're yeah. like, I'm feeling it today, but you do it anyway. So
exactly.
Tell me about, so you have a shop and you sell awesome products. I was talking about the triple threat. How did you come up with this combination of products? Were you just like, okay, I'm noticing a lot of people with dry, flaky scalps or buildup? Or did you already know about these? Like, how did you come up with these very specific things? Because they're products that other companies make, but you sell them and you put them together in a way that's like, okay, this is for dry hair and this is for staticky hair and this is for a scalp that's itchy. And it works. So how did you come up with all that?
I had this pull, this like feeling deep in my gut that I needed to do something bigger. But I didn't know how because I'm a mom and that comes first. And I do hair 2 days a week. And this idea came to me to just start this online thing where I can help strangers with their hair without being their stylist. I don't want to be everyone's stylist, but I can help you with your like day-to-day styling, right?
Yeah.
And so I've always had a passion for like education and I've dreamed so many times of having a hair school or I love it so much. And this was kind of my way of sharing all of my knowledge that I have with whoever wants to listen, but it doesn't take a ton of time for me because I can't go tour the country as a hairstylist. I can't.
Right.
Like, it's just hard, you know, yeah. to find that balance. And so I decided I was going to open this little shop and it started very small. And I just started talking about hair products that I loved. And the triple threat, I honestly was afraid to even sell it because it is more expensive. And I thought I don't know if people are interested in this, but it's a combination that I had been using on my hair for a long time. And I just love the tea tree first. I feel like it just like preps your scalp. And then I love the caviar shampoo and the conditioner. And I use it on all of my clients and I had seen incredible things with it. And so I just one day pitched it out there just like, hey, I have this little set. I know it's expensive. Don't feel like you have to buy it, but this is why I love it. It was just like, I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And it just like skyrocketed.
Yes.
And from there, people have just come to me with so many questions. And I feel like I'm able to get on and I'm able to answer people's questions and I can help them with their hair care without really taking a ton of my time.
Yeah.
And so it's fulfilling to me. It's fulfilling to talk to people about hair and to feel like I'm making a little bit of a difference. Like, I'll have a mom text me and be like, my daughter watched your hair washing video and now she's washing her hair correctly and she feels so much more confident. And I'm like, that's why I'm doing this. Like,
yes,
it's, to me, it's so simple because it's just what I've known for so long.
Yeah.
But what I'm learning is that a lot of people were never taught how to wash your hair.
No.
A lot of people were never taught, like, hey, if you're experiencing this, here are the couple of products you need. Like,
yes,
you walk into Ulta or you walk into Sephora and it is so overwhelming.
It is.
And there's a million things and it's so overwhelming, especially for someone who doesn't love that field like I do.
Yeah.
And so when I opened my online store, I decided to keep it very small. I've had a lot of manufacturers and product people try to push their products onto me, like, hey, why don't you sell my whole line of this?
Or yeah,
why don't you, you know, and I just always have to just stay true to who I am and just say, I'm just keeping it small because these are the products that I can stand behind. These yeah. are what I use in my chair. And I don't feel like you need 10 cupboards full of hair product.
Yes.
I feel like for your specific hair, there's a few things you need and then you can be happy with it.
Yes.
And I think that is honestly what's made it successful is that I think people trust me.
Yes.
Because I don't get paid by these companies. I'm not.
Right.
It's just my honest opinion and it's 20 years of experience. And if it's garbage, I'm not going to sell it.
Right.
I hate it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it. Honestly, like from someone that did not know you at all and just went off my sister's recommendation, I'm like, okay, I'll try it. It was less than $100 for 3 awesome products. And by the way, I bought it November, I think, the end of November, and it's February, and I still have so much left because you don't use
it goes so
lot.
Far.
It
yeah.
Goes, so I'm like, for $100, less than $100 for 3 months worth of shampoo and conditioner is awesome. And my hair feels different. My scalp, like it was to the point where I could not sleep at night. Like, I'm like, I washed my hair today and it's just itchy. And like, it would drive me. I would lay down and I'm like, okay, here we go. And probably a little bit mental too. Like, okay, now my hair is going to itch. Right. So, and I lay down at night and I'm like, it's itching. And then the more you do it, the more it does. And just to be okay. Brush your scalp before you wash it. Get all that product, all that dryness. Because in the winter here in Utah, it's just sucks.
Oh, so
all
bad.
So bad. So even just that tip of, are you brushing your hair really good before you're washing it? Are you clarifying it? Then are you moisturizing your scalp with the conditioner? Like, I'm like, I'm going to follow everything she said with me. And it truly works. And so I want to ask you, why do you think that... First of all, women put off taking care of themselves or feel guilty about spend because you're like, oh, I didn't want people to spend so much money. My husband will drop $150 on protein and bars and bucked up supplements out blinking an eye. And for me, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have to go get my hair done. Okay, that's like $200. And then if I buy shampoo, oh, it's another $60. And I can't do it. It's like I feel so guilty spending money on myself. And yet. Every day you look in the mirror and you see your hair and it's like, I hate my hair. I hate this. Why is it so hard for us to take care of ourselves, specifically when it comes to like doing our hair or spending money when it pays, when you have your hair done, like if I don't do my makeup, but my hair is done, I feel awesome.
Oh yeah.
If I have beautiful makeup, but my hair is gross, I'm like, I feel gross.
Yes.
What is it about our hair that causes us to feel that way? I don't know, because there is something different about it.
There is. And I think it's fascinating to kind of study women and to try and figure out that question. Like, why do we feel guilty spending time on ourselves?
Yeah.
Why is it frowned on? Like, I've had people, I am someone who I get ready every day. And I was raised that way. I remember my mom, my mom is like an angel on earth. But when I was sick as like a teenager, she would say like, you don't have to look sick to be sick. And the philosophy behind that was like, get up, shower, put some clean sweat.
Yeah.
Because you will feel better.
You
will feel better. even if you're still sick, you'll feel better than if you're in your gross, you know, haven't washed your face, haven't. And so I was just raised in a family where your appearance is important.
Yeah.
But as an adult, I've had women almost tease me or kind of shame me for getting ready every day. And I don't know why, because it really, once you get in the habit of getting ready every day, it's like 20, 30 minutes. It's not a lot of my day, but once I'm ready for the day, it doesn't matter what comes at me during that day, I can handle it. And I feel like I'm a better person.
Yep.
Like if somebody needs me and I'm ready for the day, I can drop anything and go help them. I can go pick up kids. I can go visit you in the hospital, whatever I need to do that day.
And in an emergency,
I'm ready. Where if I feel gross and I feel insecure, I probably would find an excuse not to do that.
For sure. Yes. Because you're like, I don't want anyone to see me. Like, look how.
Right.
And as we're talking, by the way, I'm still in my sweats with no makeup on.
Oh,
and Marty looks beautiful.
No.
With full face makeup and hair. But this is honestly something that I do. Because sometimes if I'm like, I just have a podcast today. I do have voice lessons later. So I'm like, I'll get ready this afternoon. And yeah, I'm like, man, if I had gotten up early, because you have to. You have to get up before the kids and get, otherwise you can't. So I'm like, I now have to take an hour out of my day to do a quick workout, shower and get ready before I can go run my errands and take my boys and teach my lessons. When, man, if I would have done that at 6 a.m., then I'd be like, great, right after this, I'm going to pop over to Smith's and then I can do this. And now I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that because I'm not ready. So do you get up early in the morning to do that? Like, what's your routine?
So I used to, when I had younger kids at home, I would get up early and I would get up around 5:30. I'd go to the gym and then I'd come home and get ready. Now I get up about 6:45 and I have some OCD things. I like to make my kids lunches. It's very important for me. So I get up and I get everyone's lunches made and I have these things that I call my morning jobs. No one assigned them to me but myself, but they are my morning jobs. And that includes making bed, starting a load of laundry, just kind of waking up the house. I open up all the blinds. It's very simple, unloading the dishwasher, but it's just kind of like starting my day.
Yeah.
And then as I drop my elementary kids off at school, I do go to the gym and then I come home. But like this morning, I got ready before I went to the gym because I knew I had this and I knew after this podcast, I probably wouldn't have gone to the gym and then I'd still need to get ready and then my day's done.
Yeah.
So I did it kind of backwards and I got ready first and then I went to the gym and that way I can just do a quick little.
Yes.
And be, I just, it's important for me to feel good.
Yes.
And I try to work out most days because it feels good for my anxiety and my mental health, but I also just want to be strong and healthy for my kids. I think it's a good example for them to see a mom exercising and spending an hour on herself. I think it's good for our daughters to see, hey, my mom spends time getting herself ready or she, because I don't want my kids to grow up and feel like that's shameful.
Yes.
You know?
There was this a little stupid clip on Instagram and it was this hideous, I don't know if you've seen it, all these beautiful emperor penguins.
Oh,
and and then it's like the hideous old one.
Yeah.
And it's like me walking past all the other moms at school and it's like ding, 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 and this hideous penguin. And my sweet little 8-year-old's like, Mom, that's you.
Stop.
And I'm all,
it is not.
And I laughed so hard because I'm very confident in part of what American Idol taught me is to let other people's comments and opinions roll right off because I heard everything and anything you can imagine about my appearance and my voice and my personality, my religion, everything. So when it's to the point where I'm like, there's not a whole lot people can say that affects me because I've heard it all. Consequently, sometimes I will show up at like a volunteer or book fair with just like my hair in a pony straight from the gym with my clothes on and to do reading or whatever. Cause I, I want to be there for my kids, but I'm.
But that's so beautiful that like you will go and do it, right? Like,
yes,
there's
I will.
Fine line between not being willing to ever put anything before yourself.
Right.
And not being willing to leave the house if you aren't ready. There's beauty in being confident and like, hey, I'm here. I'm doing it.
Yes.
I think there's a line of taking care of ourselves, but also being willing to, no one's really looking.
No
one cares.
Yes. Didn't get to it today, but here I am showing up for my kids. Yes. Yeah. Totally agree. But I know my kids. They do. They notice. Because I would notice when my mom would pick me up in her gym clothes and her hair at the junior high. And you're like, oh, there's my mom. Not that you're ever ashamed, but, you know, when she looks beautiful and she's all done up in her hair and makeup, you just, you're proud of her. You're like, that's my mom. And so I think it says a lot. I love what you said about your kids watching. My grandma's like, your kids may not do a thing you say, but they'll do what you do. They'll watch what you do. If you get ready, they'll get ready. If you work out, they'll work out. If you're like, shower, brush your teeth, they won't ever do it. But if they watch you showering and brushing your teeth and taking care, they watch. And it makes a huge impact. And maybe it takes them a while to catch on, but they notice. And it does make a big difference. Like, my mom takes pride in who she is and she cares about her appearance. And it's not vain and it's not selfish, because truly, if there is something to the saying, like, if you look good, you feel good. Not perfect, but I love what you said about, I can forget about myself and serve others. You get ready, you take care of yourself to a point where you're not obsessing like, oh, my hair, oh, my makeup. You're like, I'm ready and this is who I am. And now I can forget about how I look and just focus on other people.
Yeah. And just go about your day. You know, something you said reminded me of a personal cool story. So my brother-in-law died 2 years ago from suicide, and it's been really hard. And I was talking with his wife, and she and I are very, very different people. And so it's kind of fun because things I do, she's like, why does she do that? I mean, it's just, we're very opposite people. And we were talking about making your bed, because I'm a firm believer in making your bed. I feel like it starts your day off. I feel like if you have a bad day, you get to get in a good bed. I like preach it to my children. It's just this thing. And she and I were talking about it. She's like, oh, I never make my bed. And I'm like, oh, you have to make your bed. Like, and so she's like, okay, I'm going to start. So Monday, she sends me a picture of her bed made. I'm like, good job. Like, we made it, you know? And for the whole week, but as the week went on, her kids started texting me their beds being made. And I just thought, like, I don't think as women and as mothers, we realize how powerful we are with just our acts.
Yep.
Our kids are watching us.
Yes.
They're watching us. They want to mimic us. And so they were watching their mom get up and make their bed, make her bed, and text me. And so then they're like, I can do that. And I just thought it was such a cool little thing that happened. And I think it's also really important for us as women and as mothers to realize we are being watched.
Yeah.
Whether we want to or not.
Yeah.
Our kids are watching us. Our kids are going to follow us. And so we need to act how we hope they will.
Yes.
Whether it's something as stupid as making your bed. I don't know. It was just a cool little thing.
That is really sweet.
Set your day off well.
Absolutely. Just the little things really are the big things. And I'm so sorry to hear about your brother-in-law. And
thank you.
That is so, it's tricky and it's so difficult. And it's grief in another form, because there's a lot of like what ifs and what could have beens and regret and guilt and anger that goes around that. And it's very tricky.
It's been probably the hardest 2 years of our lives. And
I imagine
it's been hard to understand it and to, like you said, the ifs and buts and but there's been so many little miracles that have happened along the way, and so many people who have just served and loved us, and, you know, even as silly as like me talking to my sister-in-law about making a bed, like that sounds so stupid. But when you're in the depths of grief, sometimes that's hard.
And it is.
Sometimes it's hard just to get out of bed.
Yes.
And this is my brother-in-law was before my brother-in-law died, I had a very skewed vision on what mental illness looked like.
Yeah.
And to me, mental illness, like it, I could visualize what that person maybe appeared like or what their day looked like, or, you know, in my head, I knew kind of. And the thing that has rocked me is my brother-in-law was the opposite of all of it. He was the most giving, the most selfless, the most Christ-like person I've ever known. And it's been a really good lesson for me to learn that a lot of people are going day to day struggling really hard inside.
Yeah.
A lot of people show up and they get out of bed and maybe they get ready for the day and they go to work, but inside they are struggling.
And yeah,
it's been a good lesson for me to maybe just look at people with a different light, try to be a little bit more compassionate, because you really have no idea.
No, you don't. And just to be kind, be kind, be kind. Yeah. And share love and goodness as much as you can, and be like something I've tried to work on just with myself the last few years is give people the benefit of the doubt. And instead of getting mad, like say, oh, they're so funny, or oh, how interesting, they'd say something like that to me, almost like they're silly, and not how rude, how, because usually when I get to the bottom of it, they hurt people. And usually if you're hurt, if you're happy and confident, things are going well, you don't want to bring someone down. And if someone says a biting comment or something that is truly just gets to you, it's because there's something going on in their life. And when I can look at someone with that point of view, is like, I love what Sister Runya said in her last conference talk in October. Like, what must they be going through to have said what they said?
Yeah.
Has changed my whole perspective on judging, or even if I feel like I am justified in not liking you right now. That was so hurtful. And to realize what must they have been going through to say that or to act like that. And it really does change your perspective and help you just offer that Christ-like love, or say, man, it's kind of hard to like this person, so let me feel the Savior's love for them. And without fail, every time he gives it to you, it's like, I'm struggling with loving this person, but I know you love him, Heavenly Father, or her. So please just give me your love for them. Let me feel that for now until I can learn how to love them myself. And without fail, it happens every time. And it really is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It's life's hard.
It's so hard.
and the thing I've learned about being a hairstylist, and something I don't think I realized when I started this job, is you learn that every single person in this world has their pile of garbage that they're dealing with.
And yes.
It's going to be different than your pile or the other person's pile, but everyone has a pile.
Yep.
And everyone's trying really hard to sort through that pile and to figure it out. And a lot of people hide their piles until they sit in my chair. And then it's like, guess what?
Yes.
And I hear about it. And I'm like, no, I just, it's been so good for me to realize, like, nobody's life is perfect.
Nope.
Nobody has all their eggs in a row. Nobody goes to bed at night and thinks like, man, I did everything right all day. that's not what life is about.
No.
And I think it's empowering to realize that we're all trying.
Yes.
And it's just one foot in front of the other.
Yes. And I love that you are so real and genuine and authentic. And that's probably why, besides being incredibly talented and gifted at what you do, just being a safe person for other people to open up to and talk to is probably why you are completely full and people love coming to you, is just to be like, Maureen is a safe place. I know she'll make me feel beautiful and look beautiful. And that is no small feat. Maureen, tell me a little bit about where can people go if they're like, okay, what is this triple threat product? What if my hair is greasy? What about my teenagers? What do I do for teenage boys or teenage girls? And where can they kind of follow you and learn more about kind of what you do? I know you are full right now. Do you have a wait list of clients? Tell us about how people can kind of follow along with you and maybe get some products if they're interested.
Okay, so the Instagram handle that I started that talks, I don't really talk a lot about my personal life. I try to keep my kids out of the, I don't know, I'm social media is weird. So
it is.
I have a salon page that's called, I think it's Maureen_SalonN. And that is where I share videos. A lot of times people will send me like personal messages and I can just answer really quick. I try to do question and answer boxes a lot because I just get a lot of repetitive questions I can answer quickly.
Yeah.
But I do have some tutorials on there of hair washing and curling and, you know, it's just me and my hair salon doing these little videos that in my head I tell myself nobody watches.
Because yes, they do.
It's wild. But I also have a website called shopsalonn.com. And that is where all of my products are available. I believe with every product, there's like a video of me talking about the product. But I try to stay on top of the questions. I try to stay on top of answering things. But it really is, it's a really fun little bot in that world of social media where I can just talk about this thing that I'm passionate about. And
yeah,
I'm learning that a lot of people didn't know very much about hair care. And
it's fun.
It's fun to talk about it.
Well, you are such a light. And it's funny that you're like, who even watches this? And then you have like 10,000 views on, okay, here's, and even like taking care of your, everything from taking care of your hairbrushes to like how your hair lifts, like you're like, okay, do you want a really beautiful copper color for autumn? Here's how I do it on my hair and teenage girl hairs. What if my daughter doesn't like washing her hair and brushing and washing your everything? And so I just, this the reason why I love doing this podcast so much is talking with just like people from all different walks of life, from like entertainers or authors or hairstylists, how they are using that God-given gift. Like you said, I just always knew like this is who I am. And I truly believe that like Heavenly Father's like, this is your gift and your talent. And you are using it to spread so much light and so much goodness. And so thank you for talking with us today and for all the good you are doing.
Thank you. So fun to see you.
Thanks, Maureen.
I am Carmen Herbert, and I'm so excited to tell you about an amazing app that my whole family loves. It's called Our Turtle House, and it's full of literally thousands of hours of full-length talks, just like the old talk on CDs or talk on tapes, from some of your favorite Latter-day Saint speakers like John Bythewey, Mick Johnson, Hank Smith, me, and a ton more. Plus, there's podcasts, firesides, devotionals, come follow me resources, and entertaining content your whole family will enjoy, truly, all in one little app. And you can use promo code DOINGGOOD, all one word, at checkout, and you get a full month free. So check it out and sign up at ourturtlehouse.com. See you soon.